This morning, let's turn, if you will, to, well, I guess kind of the hallmark of the resurrection, and that is 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. As again, as I say, I have the message titled, All My Eggs in One Basket. Let's begin at verse number 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 12. That's page 1226 in your Scofield Bibles. Get your Bibles now. We'll be looking at a lot of places. And I want you to see them in your Bibles. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 12. Remember again now, I'm preaching for one reason this morning. I'm praying for one purpose, that you might be saved and that you come to know Christ as your Savior. All right, we begin reading now. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 12. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there be no resurrection of the dead? Now this was the Sadducee group. The Sadducees, they said there be no resurrection of the dead. They just thought you died and went back to the dust, and that was all it was to it. And so to them and to others and to skeptics down through the ages who do not believe there is any resurrection, this is primarily written. Verse 13, if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and they're found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they which also are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, then we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead. Father, help us to preach this morning as a dying man to a lost and dying world. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I want you to notice something, if you will. I want you to notice in verse 14, first of all, if there's no resurrection from the dead, that is, if Christ did not literally was resurrected from the grave, if he didn't come out bodily, if he isn't living in heaven today in that glorified body, I want you to see, first of all, in verse 14, he says, if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain. Now the word vain means without any force. It means emptiness. It literally means soap bubbles. It means no power. It means there's nothing to it whatsoever. So if there's no resurrection from the dead, there's no use of preaching. Preaching is useless. Preaching is futile. Preaching is even foolishness if there be no resurrection of the dead. So there's no power in the preaching. Notice something else. And your faith is also vain. It means, the word vain again means emptiness. It means worthless. It means of no good. It simply means soap bubbles. It means no power. So your faith has no power whatsoever. You can't reach out by faith and touch God. You can't reach out by faith and penetrate the darkness. You can't reach out by faith and touch the untouchable. You can't reach out by faith. You have no faith if there's no resurrection of the dead. Then notice, if you will, in verse 18, I think really this would be the saddest of them all. And then them also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. It means perish. It means deteriorated. It means to go back to the original state. It means lose its original form. It means that you'll never see them in heaven if there is no resurrection from the grave. This morning when I was on the way, I passed a cemetery. I saw some cars turning in. My wife and family went to her mother's grave yesterday, and they placed flowers there. She said there were so many people at the cemetery. You see, people went yesterday. Some of you will go today. And maybe if just for a moment, stand at your loved one's grave and you'll remember it. But listen, if there is no resurrection, God says, I want you to know that they are perished. There is no hope of it. Now, Paul says, I want you to understand, I'm hanging everything on one peg. I'm putting all my eggs in one basket. I believe in the preaching because I believe in the resurrection. I believe that I can have faith because of the resurrection. I believe that my sins have been forgiven because of the resurrection. I believe that there's going to be a resurrection of the dead. I believe there's going to be a reunion of our loved ones because of the resurrection of the dead. Now, as I mentioned in my introduction, the world says diversify. The world says don't put all your eggs in one basket. have a little something going here, a little something going over here, a little something going there. So if this fails, everything won't be there. But beloved, I want you to know when it comes to the Word of God, you can't do that. There are some people today says, well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll join the Christian church, and then I'll hobnob with this crowd over here, and I'll send off and get this charm, and I'll get this something that's been prayed over, a pine cone or a sheet or a handkerchief, and I'll send out here and get this, and I'll go, just in case, I'll just join all these things, just in case. I don't want to put all my eggs in one basket. Beloved, I want to tell you something. When it comes to serving Christ and when it comes to be born again, you have to put all your eggs in one basket. You have to believe from the depths of your soul that there's only one way that you'll ever go to heaven. That there's only one reason for preaching. That there's only one reason for a church. And there's only one way that you'll ever be reunited with your loved ones. And that's because, thank God, there's an empty tomb in Jerusalem that could not hold Jesus Christ. Beloved, I'll tell you, I've staked everything that I am, everything that I hope to be, on a resurrected Savior. Before I was saved, I lived in the shell. Before I was saved, I was headed to the grave and to its dark despair and to hell with its punishment. But thank God, when I was saved, God, as if He took His fist and knocked a hole in the back of the grave, and through it I could see eternity. I could see a purpose in life. I could see a reason for living. And God gave me hope because of the resurrection from the dead. Oh, beloved, we must put all of our eggs in one basket. If Christ be not resurrected from the dead, then I will say with Paul that I am of all men most miserable, because everything that I am or hope to be is based on the resurrected Christ. Now notice, if you will, first of all, I said to you that I'm putting all my eggs in one basket. Now eggs is a symbol of life. That's what it has to do. I don't go for all this colored business, but eggs speak of life. There's a little shell, and after the hen sets off, it's a hen egg 21 days. Duck egg, 28 days. You didn't know I knew those things, did you? Get in my agriculture class and you learn things like this. And on 21 days, that chicken begins to look in a little while. From that old hard shell, it begins to break. And from it comes out a little tiny chick. A little life. It's a chick. It's something that comes from, looks like from nothing whatsoever. And beloved, so it speaks of life. I'm going to show you where you get your faith. First of all, I have in my basket the egg of prophecy. The egg of prophecy. That's the life that you get from prophecy. The faith to believe in prophecy. Now let me show you what I mean. In the Old Testament, I'll not turn to this place yet. I'm just going to quote it, but I'll turn in a moment to another one. You see, in Isaac and Abraham, I see by typology, I see a type of the Lord Jesus Christ and the resurrection. You remember what happened there in Genesis 22? Abraham took his son Isaac to the mountain to offer him up as a sacrifice. And God said, get thee to the mountain that I shall show thee up. And God said, listen what he said. That is what Abraham said in chapter 22 of the book of Genesis, verse number 9. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And he stretched forth his knife to slay him. And the angel of the Lord said, you wait a minute, there is a ram, a sacrifice, an offering. And when Abraham said to the young men, he said, you by here, look at verse 5. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. He knew that by faith that he was going to bring his son down off of that mountain. And he said, you remember when the Lord Jesus Christ was being questioned by the Pharisees of his age, he said, Abraham saw my day and rejoiced. Abraham, by faith, saw the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ in the type of offering his son. He saw the resurrection when his son got up off of that altar and there was a sacrifice to take his place. And when he started down off of the mountainside with that boy, he knew then that in typology he was seeing the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11 concerning Abraham, listen what it says. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 17. By faith Abraham, when he was tried or tested, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promise offered up his only begotten son, of whom it is said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure or in a type. Abraham knew that God was going to raise up his son. And Abraham believed God on the basis that Jesus Christ was to die and to be raised again. And the Bible says, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. What did Abraham believe? Abraham believed that Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, was going to die, and he knew that he would be buried, and he knew that on the third day, just as his son had been the type, Jesus Christ was going to be raised from the dead. And if I had nothing else but that, I could put the egg of prophecy in my basket and say, bless God, I can trust in this because it's the Word of God. Had we time, we could go to many, but let me give you one more. Joseph, you remember, a son of Isaac. And his brothers took him. What a type of the Lord Jesus. His brothers took him. It was the Jews who said, cried out saying, crucify him, crucify him. I'm not charging the Jews alone with the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. For every unsaved person, be it Jew or Gentile, had a part in the death of Jesus Christ. For Jesus died for the sins of this world. But I want you to know that a type, the brothers were a type. And you remember they took him and put him in a pit and sold him as a slave. Was not the Lord Jesus Christ sold for 30 pieces of silver by one of the brethren, that is a Jew, the price of a slave? And as Joseph was sold, they took his coat and dipped it in blood and brought it back to his father and said, he's dead. We don't know where he is. He's been killed by a wild animal. And Joseph looked at the coat of many colors and saw the blood. And he said, surely, surely Joseph is dead. What a type of it was. His brothers had put him to death, so to speak, at least in the mind of their father. He didn't see him anymore. He didn't know what had happened to him for years. And finally one day, when Isaac was an old man, he went back and his son was not a little boy anymore. His son was not one who had been put in the pit, one who had been declared dead by his brethren. But he was in the prime minister of all of Egypt, and there doling out and handing out the life-sustaining food. What a type it is of the Lord Jesus Christ. Out of the prison, death and hell couldn't keep him, as Joseph wouldn't be kept. Out of the prison Joseph came to become the prime minister of all of Egypt. And the Lord Jesus Christ was taken out of the dungeons and the darkness of death and brought and raised again to be the high priest to ever live to intercede for you and for me. But beloved, I don't have to depend upon Old Testament prophecy alone, because the New Testament again speaks to us very vividly of it. Look in Matthew chapter number 12, if you will. Matthew chapter number 12. And the Lord Jesus is speaking to us and assuring us that we can put all of our eggs in one basket. Look what it says. The Lord Jesus Christ says in Matthew chapter 12, verse number 40, page 1013, for as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Beloved, he didn't say as Jonah was swallowed by a whale and forgotten, I'll be put into the ground and forgotten. Oh no. He said, just as Jonah was in the belly of that whale for 3 days and 3 nights. I want you to know how specifically he was. He didn't say, I'll be in the ground for a few days. I'll be in there 2 or I'll be in there 4. Brother, it was prophesied. In the Old Testament, Jonah was a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Beloved, I believe that if you study the book of Jonah, you will agree with the prophet when he said, literally the seaweed wrapped around his neck, and he said, out of the belly of hell I cried. I believe that Jonah died. I believe that he was dead. And when that fish came over and spat him out on the ocean and the seaweed around him, God performed the resurrection. And he said, just like Jonah was in the belly of that whale 3 days and 3 nights, even so must the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth 3 days and 3 nights. Brother, that's all God was going to be in the grave. God had the time, just like an alarm clock that was going off. And God said, 3 days and 3 nights. Brother, you didn't have to go 2 days and look to see if he was out of the grave. He wouldn't. You didn't have to go 2.5 days or wait 3.5 days. If you had, you'd have missed it. But brother, early on resurrection morning, early on Easter morning, early on that great getting up morning, bless God, when the clock went off, brother, the Lord Jesus Christ was up with healing in his wings, and brother, ever living to make intercession for us. And brother, I put my eggs in one basket. I believe I've hung everything that I have on one peg, and that is on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But that isn't all. Look in the 16th chapter and verse number 21. Look what it says. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and scribes, and be killed, listen now, and be raised again the third day. Now, I'm not standing here this morning trying to be critical. I'm standing here this morning trying to be analytical. You go get prophets, the prophet or the book of Mohammed, and see where he says that he's going to be raised from the dead. You go get the founder of any religion and show me where he prophesied that 3 days he was going to be raised from the dead. They didn't have it. Rather, the thing that makes Christianity unique is not the death of Jesus Christ, because every one of the founders of the so-called religions have died. I've got news for you and the 100 of the Moon Knights. Brother Moon's going to die one of these days too. But beloved, I want you to know that being dead doesn't create an organization or religion. But brother, when you have the power to be resurrected from the dead, that's what it is. One of the men walked into a group of very intellectual men one day, and he began to laugh, and he said, "Wonder what I'd have to do to start a religion." The other man, just as sure of himself as you and I are, he said, "That's very simple. Just be crucified and stay in the ground 3 days. And on the third day be resurrected from the dead. You can start a new religion." And beloved, I'll say to anybody, you can start a new religion if you're willing to be crucified and placed into the ground for 3 days and nights. And on the third day, just as you prophesied, be raised from the dead and seen of over 500 people alive. Brother, you can start a new religion. But now watch. Turn over to the Gospel of John, chapter number 2. John chapter 2 and verse number 19. Jesus answered and said unto them, that is to the disciple, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." Then said the Jews, 46 years was the temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days?" But he spake of the temple of his body. He said, "Destroy this temple, and I'll raise it up in 3 days." They said, "Lord, it took 46 years to build this temple. You mean if we'd tired all down, you could build it up again in 3 days?" But he was speaking of his body. The Bible says, "Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost?" And again, the Lord Jesus Christ prophesied that he would be resurrected. He would only be in the ground 3 days and 3 nights. After that, he'd be resurrected. John chapter 10, verse number 17. "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." Brother, there's a double guarantee. God the Father and God the Son, they were in coalition, so to speak. And they said, "He'll die, and he'll be in the ground 3 days, but that's all. That's all." And God the Father and God the Son joined together in the power for the resurrection, brother. And I'll tell you, you can rest upon that. Then there was Jesus' examples. Not just what he prophesied, but his examples. Listen. One day somebody called him, and he went, and their little girl had just died. Her body was still warm. And he went in, and he said to the rest of them, "You go out of the room now." And took his disciples in there, and he raised that little girl from the dead. Again, the Bible says he was walking along, and there was a widow of Nain. She was taking her boy, probably 20 years age, somewhere along in there. Young man said. And he was going, she had buried her husband, and now she was burying her only son. How her heart was broken, Jesus saw it, and the tenderness of his heart reached out. And he went over there and touched the place, touched the bier, B-I-E-R, the thing upon which they were carrying the young man's body. And the young man came alive, and he said, "Go back." And the third one, of course, he raised a very matured man, Lazarus. Some said the dead, the deader, and the deadest. I don't know. But I know that he was able to raise a young girl from the dead. He was able to raise a young man from the dead. He was able to raise an old man from the dead. Now, if Jesus Christ could do that, then he could raise himself. What he could do for others, he could do for himself. And he did. And then I think we need to understand the very crucifixion itself. In Matthew chapter 27, look right there. It has to do with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 27. Listen what the Word of God has to say in chapter 27. Telling about the crucifixion. Look at verse number 51. There are four things told us here. Well, really, beginning at verse 45. Time does not permit me to read them, but listen. There were four unusual things that happened here. Look at verse 51. "And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent." You know what he's saying? Had earthquake. When Jesus died, the very heart of the earth convulsed and caused an earthquake. And brother, things began to move. It was a recorded earthquake. I've often thought when Jesus Christ was dying on Calvary's cross, the very things that He had spoken into existence, the sun literally put His fingers over its eyes and refused to shine for 6 hours while that dastardly deed was being committed upon the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, who had never harmed anybody. And the earth, when He died, I believe it convulsed on the inside. Maybe the sobs and the groans, and it shook itself until it caused an earthquake. The second thing that happened, notice, and the veil of the temple was rent from the top to the bottom. The veil separated the holies of holies from the holy place. The people could come to the holies of holies, but they couldn't go into the holy place. That's where the Shekinah glory of God was. They could only come with the blood offering of a sacrifice. But oh, thank God, the eternal sacrifice had been made, and it was rent from the top to the bottom, indicating that God split it Himself. And He said, now you have entrance to the holies of holies. We have a high priest who can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Then there was another thing happened. I want you to see. The Bible says in verse 45, now there was a 6 hours, there was darkness over the land. And brother, when it closed its eyes, it says, it seemed to say, oh, I cannot look upon this. The sun has seen a lot of awful deeds. It's seen war and ravages, and it's seen awful things. But never had it witnessed anything like that. Now look again, if you will, in verse 52. And the graves were open, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose. There was a resurrection. God was showing us what He could do. His death on Calvary's cross. And when the earth began to reel and rock, the graves opened, and the saints of God, not prematurely, but God said, these are the first fruits of them that slept. It was a guarantee, brother, that you and I are going to be raised from the dead. If these people hadn't come out of the grave, I couldn't put all my eggs in one basket. I'd be wondering about it. I'd have no scientific evidence, but I've got proof, brother, that when Jesus Christ died, dead people literally came out of the grave and began to walk again. Thank God for that. Very quickly, there's the egg of proof. There is in the Word itself. Look in the book of Acts, chapter 1 and verse number 3. Acts, chapter 1. And verse number 3. And the Bible tells us about the witnesses and how the people there willing to give their life. In the book of Acts chapter 1 verse number 3. To whom also He showed Himself alive after His passion. That is His suffering. By many infallible proofs. But being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. See, He stayed around 40 days after He was resurrected. 40 days. The Bible says He was seen of better than 500 people. Many, many, not one or two, but many, infallible. That means there's no way it could be wrong. Infallible proofs. There's the Word of God itself. The Word of God itself, I want to tell you something. Anytime anybody denies or doubts the resurrection of Jesus Christ, he can't be saved, because you can't be saved when you doubt the Word of God. And when you doubt the resurrection, you're doubting the Word of God, because it says very plainly too many times that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. You know, the women gave us a testimony. And ladies, thank God, you'll always have a place in the Bible. It was the ladies who believed God, I think, even more than the men. The disciples were a little disturbed, and they went to their cities. But it was the women. And the Bible says they came. And in Luke chapter 24, verse 6, I won't turn there, they said, He is not here, but He's risen. Run and tell Peter and the other disciples. It was a woman who came to the grave first. The Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse number 20, he tells us of this great truth. And then over 40 times in the New Testament alone, over 40 times, it tells us about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 20, but now is Christ risen from the dead. The Apostle Paul said, I can put all my eggs in one basket. I can do it all because I'm trusting Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Another reason I know it, not only the Word, but because of the women and because of the Apostle Paul, but because I know the Holy Spirit is in this world today. Thank God I know that He lives. Thank God. I tell you, beloved, I have asked God to fill me so full of the Holy Spirit of God that if a mosquito would bite me, that he'd fly away singing, there's power in the blood. Bless God, we can do it. I believe it from the bottom of my heart. I know the Holy Spirit lives. And Jesus said, it is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, I cannot send the Comforter unto you. But when He is come, oh, thank God, but when He is come, He will teach you things to come. Oh, isn't that wonderful?
He will not leave you comfortless. And I'll tell you right now, beloved, I know that the Lord Jesus Christ was resurrected because He said, I've got to die and be resurrected before the Holy Spirit of the living God can come into this world. I can put all my eggs in one basket because I believe He's living this morning. Amen. Praise God for that. Then I tell you, because of changed lives. You tell me what would have changed that Jew's life named Peter. All his life he had been brought up to go to the synagogue on the Sabbath day. That is, on Saturday. All his life he had been brought up to offer sacrifices. And brother, I want you to know, you read John chapter 20. And they changed all that. It said on the first day of the week, being the Lord's day. They changed it. They changed it, brother. Because they were changed men. The resurrection changed them from the old Jewish economy unto the dispensation of grace. And I want you to know, by the grace of God, brother, He not only changed Peter, He changed the rest of the disciples. And I'll tell you how I know He's resurrected. Because one night, one cold wintry night in February, in the basement of the Tabernacle Baptist Church, a lost, hell-bound sinner named Jack Hudson got on his knees and said, Oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner, and save my soul. And bless God, I haven't done right, and I haven't always been what He wanted me to be. But I thank God I'm not what I used to be. And I thank God I've had a glory in my soul, and I've got a power and a shout in my being that never existed before. And I experience more things than most men have ever experienced on the face of this world in traveling and excitements and thrills. But I never had anything that thrilled me like knowing Jesus Christ as my Lord and as my Savior. I know that He lives, brother, because He lives within my heart. A great man went one time, a preacher, and he was visiting a young man, a young college student. He was sincere in his criticism, but he did have criticism. He said, How do you know He lives? And he witnessed to him for a little while. And later, on the way home, he wrote the song. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. Brother, I know He lives. Brother, I'll tell you, then there's scientific proof if you need it. On many occasions, I have been 5 times to the Holy Lands. More times than you could count have I been to the empty tomb. That's my favorite place. I've sat down in it before they put the fence up. I've laid down in it. But they say that after they uncovered it, it had been covered over with over 20 feet of dirt. And they excavated it and found it. The archaeologists agreed it was just under Golgotha's brow. And they located it and found it. And it says He was laid in Joseph of Arimathea's tomb, wherein no man had ever laid. And the scientists went. And they know how to do these things. And they took a little bit of the rock off of the top. And they took it and analyzed it. And they said, we must have not got the right place, got in the right place. And they looked over here. And they kept finding it and kept finding a piece of the stone off of the top and cut down and cut down. And finally they came back. And the greatest scientist living today said this. We cannot find any evidence whatsoever in that tomb where any flesh decayed. I said, thank God, glory to God in the highest. The Bible said, Thou will not suffer His flesh to decay. Brother, His flesh didn't decay. They can't find any indication of it. He arose bodily, brother. And He came out of that tomb that was, or that womb, that thing that was wrapped around Him. And He came out of it and laid the napkin back over His place where His face was. And He went on home to be with His Lord. Oh, bless God, isn't it wonderful? Just lastly, quickly, there's the egg of purpose. There's a purpose for the resurrection. Number one, it was to prove His deity. As it said, as it was the sign of Jonah. After 3 days and nights must I be in the heart of the earth, just as Noah was, Jonah was in the belly of the whale. I've got to be there too. Listen to what it says in Romans chapter 1 verse 4. And declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. You know why He's the Son of God? Because, listen, and declared to be. I've stood many times and I said, I now declare you to be husband and wife. It means that I can officially pronounce it. I can announce it that this conclusion had been reached. Listen. And declared to be, announced publicly, that He is the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness. How? By the resurrection from the dead. Bless God, I'm glad that I can put all my eggs in one basket. I'm glad that I don't have to piddle over here in spiritualism. I'm glad I don't have to piddle over here in something else, or reach over here in some other kind of a seance, and reach over here in some other kind of a weird thing. I'm glad that I can just put all my eggs in one basket and say Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. I know He is because He's been resurrected from the dead. Number two, to prove our justification. I want you to listen to this. Now forget your dinner. Most of you don't need dinner like I am. You can miss it and won't hurt you a bit. Now you listen to me. I want you to understand, brother, it's to prove our justification. Now will you not forget this? Regeneration takes place in the heart of a man. Regeneration. But justification takes place in the heart of God. Brother, what a difference. We're regenerated by the power of the Holy Spirit, but we can only be justified by God the Father, and it's an agreement that takes place in His heart. Justification. The Bible tells us, does it not, very carefully, in the book of Romans chapter 4 and verse number 25? Listen to what it has to say. Verse 4 and verse, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. His resurrection causes and creates the justification. Listen as it begins, chapter 5, verse 1, which is a continuation of it. Therefore. Therefore what? Therefore because of the resurrection. Therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Beloved, justified in the heart of God, regenerated in the being, then number 3, it assures our resurrection. You know the thing that I like in John 11, I can't go into it now, but you remember Mary and Martha were weeping. And the Bible says that Lazarus was there dead, and he said to the sisters, he said, thy brother shall rise again. Oh, brother, that thrills my heart. Don't worry, sisters. Your brother's going to rise again. I'll tell you, there it never has been as good news to this world. And when the Second World War, I remember when they had V-Day. Oh, what a blessing it was. V-Day, it came over the radio, and people was out in the streets, and the gas ration was off, and on the radios and everything, you could hear horns blowing all of Victory Day. And then when D-Day or all the other days came, I'll tell you, there never has been a day that's been declared to this world. That's what the Lord said here. When He says, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you, it thrills my heart every time I do a funeral. When I go with people who've been born again, I can say in my heart and think in my soul, as the Lord Jesus said concerning Lazarus, thy brother shall rise again. I'll tell you, that's good news. That's good news on this resurrection day. But I want to tell you something else. I want you to understand, beloved, the resurrection, while it creates all these things and put all your eggs in one basket, remember this. It also assures you that there's going to be a day of judgment. It's appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. This morning in our Sunday school, we were in Revelation chapter 20, and we were discussing the great white throne judgment. That's where sinners are going to stand before God when they're not saved. And they're going to stand, and God's going to open the book. But it guarantees, it gives you assurance that there's going to be a judgment. There was an old sheriff one time in the old West. He was dying. His wife was a Christian. She'd witnessed to him over and over. And she said, are you afraid to die? And he said, honey, you know I'm not afraid of anything. I've faced the blazing guns of outlaws, and I've faced the bitter cold and freezing winds and blizzards. Honey, you know I'm not afraid. She said, I know, honey, you're not afraid to die, but what about this? It's appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. Honey, aren't you afraid of the judgment? He lay there for a little while and thought it all over. An old hardened man reared in the West. Most of his life has been tracking down, apprehending criminals and lawbreakers. A tear coursed down the side of his face. His wife saw it and she went over and she said, honey, what's wrong? He said, honey, I'm not afraid of any man that walks. I'm not afraid of the blizzards. I've always felt that I was self-confident. But honey, I'm not ready for the judgment. Tell me about God. Beloved, you better be sure that this resurrection day, these Easter lilies, the eggs, everything about it, God is pointing His finger towards you and say, I love you. And because of the resurrection, you can put all your eggs in one basket. But there's going to be a judgment. I'm glad, aren't you? I don't have to have a little bit of this one and a little bit of that one, a little bit of that one, a little bit of this one over here. I'm glad I don't have the philosophy that all steeples point towards heaven and therefore any church you go to is all right. I'm glad I don't think that. I'm glad that I know that I can put everything that I ever hope to be in a resurrected Christ and can rest secure. Let's stand together, the heads bowed.